Masechta Brachos is made up of four major topics. The first of which is Kriyat Shema and Birchas Kriyat Shema. The second is the Shalosh Tfilos, Shachris, Mincha, Arvis, Tfilos Musaf. Third is Birchas Hanenim. And the fourth is Birchas Shevach V'Hodah. And this Masechta was put first in the Seder of Mishnayos and the Seder of Shas because of its special significance with regard to these various dimensions that we mentioned before of Kriyat Shema, which is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and of course Tefillah and Brachos in general. Now, the first parak of Masechta Brachos is going to address number one, Zmanei Kriyat Shema. What are the times for Kriyat Shema at night and then in the morning? Because the Torah says, "Ubishalvucha of Kumecha," and we are obligated twice daily to recite Kriyat Shema. The way we have to read it, the brachos they have to recite before Kriyat Shema and after Kriyat Shema, and the dinim of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, remembering the Exodus on a daily basis. Now, in order to understand that Mishnah, we quote a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim in Parshas Vayeschanon. It says, "V'dibarta bam b'shavbecha uvkumecha." And the Gemara later on at Daf Yud Amud Beis is going to derive from this pasuk that we have to read Kriyat Shema twice daily, once b'shavbecha when we go to sleep, and the other is b'kumecha when we wake up. The Gemara in a later parak is going to discuss whether Chovas Kriyat Shema is Derabbanon, and the pasuk really refers to the mitzvah of Limud Torah, or is this pasuk Doraisa? As we said before, the Mishnah opens Mishnayis Shas with Kriyat Shema, and that's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Yiras Hashem, and of course the dimensions of an absolute commitment of a Jew to Achdus Hashem, to believe in the unity of God. In fact, the first mitzvah that the Mishnah addresses in all of Mishnayis is Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, because the very moment a child reaches Bar Mitzvah, on that very first night after his Bar Mitzvah, when he's 13 years old, his first mitzvah is Kriyat Shema. So that's the first mitzvah that any child will fulfill in his lifetime. Now, had the Torah said that we should read Kriyat Shema baboker uba'erev, then there would be no room for our Mishnah as it opens with the words me'emasai koronishma bi'arvis u'b'shachris. Because had the Torah isolated boker and erev, we know that Laila begins with Tzeisa Kochavim, when the stars come out. That's the beginning of nightfall, according to Halacha. And we know that the day begins with Halos HaShachar, and that we see from a pasuk in Nehemiah Perek Dalet, V'anachnu Osim Malacha Me'Halos HaShachar V'Yad Tzeisa Kochavim V'Hayolanu Laila L'Mishmar V'Yom L'Malacha. The Chachamim are going to derive later on Daf Beis Amid Beis from this pasuk in Nehemiah, that at the time they did Malacha, the Malacha would begin for day workers with Halos HaShachar, and it would end at night with Tzeis HaKochavim. So had the Torah specified Yom and Laila, we would have been clear. There would be no need to ask the question, Me'emasai. But the language of B'shalbacha, when we go to sleep, when we B'kumecha, that really lends itself to a certain element of ambiguity. The Mishnah begins with the word Korin in a plural, because although in Megillah it says, Lashon Yochin Megillah Nikreis, which means the Megillah is read by one person, there's halacha of Yotza Motzi, of Shomer Ke'one, with regard to Megillah. However, with regard to Kriyat Shema, and this is derived in the Sifri, there's a special halacha that every person has to recite Kriyat Shema personally himself. And whenever the Torah wants to convey the absolute obligation incumbent upon each individual without the possibility of Shomer Ke'one, it utilizes the plural. For example, Usfartem lachem mimachas haShabbos in Sfiras Omer. Each and every one of us has to read the Omer. There's no Shomer Ka'ona in the reading of the Omer. The Mishnah says, Me'emasai Koren Eshma B'Arvin. Arvin is Lashon Rabin. And the reason why the Mishnah deliberately uses a plural for Arvin is because there are two Arvin, the two Zmanim that could be called Erev. There's the first Erev, which begins in the afternoon when the sun tilts towards the west, and that's midday. But the second Erev is after Shkia Sacham, after the sun sets. That's also called Bein Harbayim. The Zman of Kriyat Shema is after both of these Aravim, not just one. Now, when is the earliest time, asks the Mishnah, for reciting Kriyat Shema Be'erev, on any single Erev? Erev is the time, as we said earlier, after the sun sets. And it's called Erev Miloshen Me'urav, because there's still some light on the horizon. So it's a bit of a combination between the light of day and the beginning of nightfall. And the Mishnah, to our surprise, identifies the time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvin as Mishosh Akonim Nichnasim Lechol Trumasam. We'll soon see that the Gemara is going to establish that this is what's called a Milsag of Urcha. The Mishnah could have told us explicitly that the time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvin is after Shkia, would say Sakol Chavim, but instead it teaches us another halacha about a Kohen. Now, what is the status of this Kohen? The Kohen has contaminated himself with a certain element of Tumah. One element, one category of Tumah could be called a Tful Yom, which means that he's Tumah for one day, goes to Mikvah, and then he's Tar at the end of the day. There's a more intense Tumah, which is called Mechusar Kapara. For example, a Mitzora, in addition to waiting a certain period of time, going into the Mikvah, he's not purified until he brings a Karbon in the Beis HaMikdash. That's also true for a Zav. So with regard to Mechusar Kapara, there's an extra Chiddush here, as we'll soon see, that he can be considered Tahar with nightfall, despite the fact that he hasn't yet brought his kapara, his karbon. So, Bali Neder, as we go along, we'll try to clarify that. So, at what moment is a Kohen who contracted Tumah permitted to eat his Truma? And the Mishnah says that that moment is the moment that we can recite Kriyat Shema Shel Arvin. And that's called Seisa Kochavim. That's the end of the day, and that's the beginning of night. Now there's a comment here in the Achronim that the truth is that Kohanim do not eat Truma before they recite Kriyat Shema. The reason is because whenever you're obligated a mitzvah, you postpone achila until after that mitzvah. In this case, they want to eat their truma, but they first have to recite Kriyat Shema. The Tzlach, one of the other achronim, the Nod Behuda, he claims that kohanim are allowed to eat truma even before Kriyat Shema, because achila's truma itself is a mitzvah, and therefore trumps the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Now, there's another girsa, a text in Agamar, an alternative one, Nichnasim L'Truma. We have Nichnasim Lechel B'Truma. And according to that girsa, Nichnasim L'Trumasa means that even before Tzeis HaKochavim, although then they're enjoined from eating Truma, these Kohanim who are Tmeim, and they're not allowed to even touch Truma, because the halacha is that at full yom, someone who's tummy even for one day, and even if he went to mikvah, but he hasn't yet experienced the sunset, his touching of truma will passel the truma. So therefore, nichnasim l'trumaso means a little bit later on, not just after sunset, but it's after Seis HaKochavim. So that's the emphasis here. And then they will not pass on their truma, transmit truma to the tuma to the truma, because it's already after Seis HaKochavim. Now, what the Mishnah is telling us is that Seis HaKochavim is the time of Zman Shechiva. If someone recites Kriya Shema before that time, when people are not going to sleep, then he's not Yotzei his mitzvah of Kriya Shema. There's a major discussion here between Rashi and Tosfos in this very long Tosfos, Divrei Maaseh Me'Emasai, because Rashi claims that in his time, the minhag was to read Kriyat Shema and daven Ma'ariv when it was still daylight out. And that seems to be contradicted by our Mishnah. And Rashi is so bothered by this minhag that he comes to the conclusion that the Iker Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is to be fulfilled ala mita. That's the time after Tzeis HaKochavim when we fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. However, we only recite one parsha of Kriyat Shema, the first of the three parshios. And Tosfos objects to Rashi for many different reasons. He says, number one, if Rashi is correct and the Iker mitzvah of Kriyat Shema is Alamita, we should be reciting three parshios. And furthermore, why don't we postpone Birchas Kriyat Shema until Kriyat Shema Alamita? And furthermore, according to Rashi, it would seem that we are sacrificing or forfeiting the mitzvah of Smichus Gula Tefillah, because Smichus Gula Tefillah means that we combine and connect Kriyat Shema with Tefillah. Tosfos claims that we could be Yotzei Kriyat Shema even before nightfall, while it's day. And Tosfos explains this in one of two ways. First, he quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda later on Daf Chaf Vav. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Zman of Mincha is until Plaga Mincha, which is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. And from Plaga Mincha on begins Tfilas Arvis. And together with Tfilas Arvis begins Kriyat Shema. However, he quotes the Ri, who says that our Minog reflects the sheet of other Tanoim here on Daf Beis Amid Beis, who would say that the Zman of Kriyat Shema begins before Tzeis HaKochavim, against our Mishnah. And we paskin like those Tanoim, and not like the Stam Mishnah that we have in front of us. The Rosh adds another point here, that we also rely on those opinions because of Shasat Chak. It's very difficult to gather together the Tzibur for both Tfilas Mincha and later on after Tzeis HaKochavim for Kriyat Shema and Arvis. Therefore, once we gather together the minion of people and more for Mincha, we immediately will daven Ma'ariv afterwards with Kriyat Shema and rely on those Shitos that would claim that you could be Yotzei Kriyat Shema even before Laila against our Mishnah. Rashi on the other hand insists that our minhag reflects a possibility of davening Ma'ariv before the Zman of Kriyat Shema, postponing Kriyat Shema until Kriyat Shema Lamita. When is the latest time to read Kriyat Shema? And here we have a few shitas in our Mishnah. The first sheet is at Sof Hashmora Harishona. The night is divided into three equal segments. Let's say, for example, if you were to take the night as 12 hours, then you would divide it into three Hashmoras of 4 hours each. This is Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer wants to make sure that we read Kriyat Shema no later than 4 hours into the night, which is Sof Hashmura Rishona. And it's very possible that Rabbi Eliezer is talking about a Doraisa Halacha. This is not our Chokhmah Midrabanan, because Rabbi Eliezer is based on the Pasuk B'Shalmacha, which he means, according to him, means Tchilas Man Hashchivo, when people go to sleep. The people go to sleep during the first segment of the night. Very few people go to sleep 4 hours into the night, which is probably close to midnight. Chachamim Omrim Ad Chatzos. This Shita the Chachamim that the latest time for Kriyas Shema Shel Arvus is Chatzos, is what you call in Yiddish Nishtaher and Nishtahin. It's not here and it's not there. What do I mean? It's not Tchilas Man Shchiva and it's certainly not Sof Man Shchiva, but rather it's a Derabbanan. It's Archaka Midrabbanan. Now we're going to see this in the rest of the Mishnah, but first, the third Shita is Rabbi Gamliel Omer Ad Sheyala Mura Shachar, until sunrise, because Laila extends until sunrise, and Zman Shchiva is Zman Laila, which continues until the sun rises in the morning. Maisa Ubo Bonav. If you like a story, here's a story for you in the Mishnah itself. From Gamliel's children came after Chatzos Laila, the Beis HaMishnah, they returned from some sort of a Sudas Mitzvah, most likely a Chasana, although the word Mishnah usually refers to Yayin. We're not sure if a Sudas Nisuin in a wedding requires Yayin or not. Some of the Achronim claim that they came from a different kind of a Suda, not necessarily a Sudas Nisuin, and they perhaps drank a little bit too much. They couldn't read Kriyat Shema because of the intake of alcohol, and they had to come back home. They got home very late after Chatzos, and they were thinking maybe it's too late to recite Kriyat Shema. Omer lo, they turned to Rav Gamliel, their father, and they said, Lo karinu es Shema. We have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Can we fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema even after Chatzos according to the Chachamim? We paskin like that middle sheet in our Mishnah that we learned earlier, that the latest time for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvus is Chatzos. Amar lahem, Rav Gamliel responded him, Lo olam urashachar chayov matem likros. If it's still nighttime and day hasn't broken yet, you can read Kriyat Shema, and you're obligated to read Kriyat Shema. It seems that Rav Gamliel, Lishitaso, is reflecting this opinion, which is the third opinion, that's not the Chachom's opinion, namely, that the latest time for Kriyat Shema is daybreak. However, it would be a little bit strange that Rav Yehuda Hanasi would tell this story if he wasn't teaching us some sort of halacha. So in order to appreciate that, we have to read the next part of the Mishnah. Rav Gamliel made the following comment to his sons. Velo zu bilvad. When the Chachamim tell you that the latest time for a mitzvah is Ad Chatzos, even though it's a mitzvah halayla, which should take you all the way up to Amud HaShachar, they didn't mean a doraisa halacha. Kol ma shamru chachamim ad chatzos mitzvos and atshiyal amur hashachar on a doraisa level. And just to fast forward a little to the end of the Mishnah, we'll get back to the few lines we're skipping. Im kein lama amru chachamim ad chatzos. If all the mitzvah laila do not terminate until daybreak, why did the chachamim consistently say ad chatzos? This is all drabbanon. A person might get involved, he forgets, it's getting later and later, it's already past midnight, he might fall asleep, and he won't fulfill the mitzvah. So the rabbanon say, even though technically you're obligated till alos hashachar, but make sure to fulfill the mitzvah at chatzos. Now, what mitzvah do we have in mind? First of all, Kriyat Shema, but we have another mitzvah in mind. And that's called Hekder Chalavim Ve'evarim. When a carbon is brought during the course of the day, let's say, for example, the carbon Tomit Shel Bein Arbaim, which is a carbon Ola, and it's brought towards the end of the day before sunset. So there was a Zrika Saddam during the day, but yet there was not enough time during the day for what's called Hekder Chalavim. And these are certain parts of the innards of the animal that have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The rest of the basar can be eaten by the Bailin or by Kohanim, depending upon which carbon it is. So now there's a mitzvah of hekder chalavim. That's the chalev. And then there are evarim. There are certain parts of the innards, limbs, and so forth that have to be burnt on the mizbeach in the case of a korban ola. And mitzvasim achayala amura shachar. And that even though technically you could fulfill this mitzvah during the entire course of the night up until daybreak, b'chein kol hanecholim liom echod, any kodshim that could be eaten for an allotment of a day, for example, a korban chatos, a korban osham, kivsei atzeres, minochos, a korban toda, all these korbanos get a full day. And the chachom say that they have to be eaten, the korbanos have to be eaten by the kohanim before chatzos laila, even though mitzvosan on a Torah level, ad shiyala mura shachar. That's what we saw earlier, that the Rabbanan wanted to be marchikos midei avera. Now, in order to explain the Chachamim Shita, there are a number of different approaches in the Rishonim. The Rabbeinu Yonah's approach is the Chachamim said that even b'di'evad you're not yotzei, you're chiyuv of Kriyat Shema if you recite Kriyat Shema after Chatzos. And at the face of it, this Shita of Rabbeinu Yonah is very difficult, because Rav Gamliel, in fact, in addition to instructing his sons to recite Kriyat Shema, they're obligated to pass Chatzos, he also went ahead and explained the Chachamim Shita, as if to say that what I told you would reflect the Shita of the Chachamim. But according to Rabbeinu Yonah, it comes out that Rav Gamliel was not teaching his sons that they should recite Kriyat Shema after Chatzos, and he didn't have in mind to tell they should be knowing according to the Chachamim Shita, but rather, Kevin Shelo Nechluku Olav Chachamil Mishum Shasu Siag Ledover Mistaber Yosef Kishitosa. In other words, if the Chacham were only adding a Siag, then Aloch is probably like me, and then B'dievin we should not create an Isur. But in fact, according to the Chachamim, B'dievin there is an Isur. The Rabbeinu Yonah quotes another opinion that according to Chachamim, after Chatzos, you can read Kriyat Shema, but you have to omit the brachas of Kriyat Shema. That has to be studied more in depth. And finally, the Rashba's Shita, the third Shita, is when the Chachamim say the Kriyat Shema is till Chatzos, that's only Lechatchila. Rav Gamliel holds that even Lechatchila you could postpone Kriyat Shema until before Alos HaShachar. Let's begin the Gemara itself. Tana hecha koi dekatani me'emasai. When a Mishnah opens up with a question like me'emasai, it must be that the Tana of the Mishnah was already in the middle of some sort of presentation. He had learnt and studied some sort of halacha. Now he's saying me'emasai. But wouldn't it make more sense that the Mishnah should have first told me and formulated the chiyuv, the obligation to read Kriyat Shema? What's me'emasai? Vesu, and furthermore, we know that there are two mitzvahs of Kriyat Shema, one at night and one during the day. Maishna detoni bi arvis bereisha. Why does he start with the one at night? Listeni, why doesn't he start with shachris, with the one during day bereisha? That should be first. And we're going to try to understand why the Gemara thinks, as a davar pashut, the Tana should have begun with Kriyat Shema by day. After all, the halachic unit of a day begins at night, so why was Gemara bothered by this? One approach in the Rishonim is that since the Chachamim in the Gemara later on established the Tfilos to correspond to the Tmidim, and the Tomid Shel Shachar begins and is presented also in the Torah before the Tomid Shel Bein Arbayim, then the Gemara thinks the Mishnah should have followed in that pattern and started with Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar. There's another approach in Rishonim that most mitzvahs zmanu bayom, and therefore we should start with the yom. And a third approach is that we should always begin with shachris because of a pasuk in Tilm Kuf Yutes, Psach Dvarecha Yair. The Gemara says the following, that the reason why we start here in the Mishnah with Me'emasai and with Arvis is Tonakra Koi. The Tan of our Mishnah is following the Pasuk, meaning he's attaching his question to the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'dibarta bom b'shitcha v'esecha v'letcha v'aderech v'sholmecha v'kumecha. And the Pasuk starts with b'sholmecha and then goes on to b'kumecha. It seems like the chiyuv of a person to begin with Kriyat Shema is with Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. B'sholmecha comes first. And since the Pasuk starts with Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, Torah Shebaal Peh should also parallel with Torah Shebichsav. And this is one great example from the very beginning of Shas of the connection between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi went out of his way to make that connection obvious by following with a Me'emasai, forcing us, so to speak, to go back to the Pasuk and beginning his sequence as the Pasuk begins it with Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. What's going to be interesting later on is we're going to see that some of the Mishnayos with regard to Brachos and so forth are going to begin Dafka with Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris in the reverse order, but we'll get to that at some later stage. Just keep it in mind. The Gemara offers now an extra addition to enhance our understanding. It says, V'hachi k'toni. This is the way we should read our braisa. So this is what the Tana has in mind. Zman kriyat shma de shchiva emas. When does the zman of shchiva for kriyat shma begin? Mishosh hakonim nichnosim lechol b'trumosom. There are those achronim who explain that what the Gemara wants to add here is to say that ba'arvin, when it says b'mishnah, in our mishnah ba'arvin, it means b'sholmecha in the pasuk, even though that's a little bit of a push. Ibai's aim of the Gemara offers another explanation to understand why the mishnah begins with Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. D'yolef mi b'yaso shel olam. The mishnah is following the pattern of creation. The Torah says that God began His creation with Erev, with the evening, and then He created Boker, Yom Echad. So the Mishnah wants to follow the pattern of the Torah and begin with Arvis. The advantage of this second answer offered as an Ibaisim over the first is in the first we're still left a little bit confused why the Mishnah, instead of using the word B'sholmecha as written in the Torah, used the word B'arvin. But in the second interpretation, B'arvin parallels the word B'arev in the Pasuk V'yerev. The Gemara now mentions the following question. Ihochi, if we accept the second answer, that we're reflecting the sequence of creation, then Sefer de Ketani B'Shachar, as I mentioned earlier, later on in the Mishnayos, here it appears on Daf Yud Aleph, with regard to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema B'Shachar, it says, Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneo, V'Achas Lachreo, U'Ba'erev, Mevarech Shtayim Lefaneo, Shtayim Lachreo. The Mishnah begins to address Kriyat Shema Shel Shachar before Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis with regard to the number of brachos before and after Kriyat Shema. Now, if on the other hand, in our second answer, the Mishnah is trying to follow the pattern of creation, then listening, it should have said Arvis Bereisha. It should have mentioned with the Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis first in terms of how many brachos to recite. Now at this point we have to ask the question, why does the Gemara raise this objection only to the second answer, not to the first answer? If the reason of Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis first is because B'Shovu Kumecha, why doesn't the Gemara raise this objection as to why Kriyas Shema Shel Shacharis appears first in the Mishnayos on Daf Yud Aleph. But the answer is that wouldn't have bothered the Gemara, because the Mishnayos later on Daf Yud Aleph, they're not addressing the issue of Kriyas Shema per se, but rather Birchas Kriyas Shema. And with regard to Birchas Kriyas Shema, we're not in any way bound by the Pasuk of B'shal B'chav Kumecha. And the Gemara now answers, Tana Pasach B'Arvis V'Hadar Tani B'Shachris. There's a rule of thumb in the Mishnayos that it goes A, B, B, A. So once he's in our Mishnah finished with Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis, and then he goes on to Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis, therefore he's going to now talk about the dinim of Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis. Ad Dekoi, since he's already standing or addressing Shacharis, is Parash Mili to Shacharis. The Mishnayos go into detail about the laws of Shacharis, and that has to do with the Seder HaBrachos. V'hadar Parash Mili the Arvis. Then he goes back to the original discussion about Arvis. So that's the logical progression of the Mishnayos. Let's just mention that creation here in the second answer the Gemara goes beyond. It means that for all of eternity, for all of posterity, once God created night first, it's always going to be night first. And therefore the Tana wants to discuss Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis first. Omar Mar, we learned in the Mishnah, Mishosh HaKonim Nichnosim Lechol B'Tshumos HaMichti Konim Emas Ka'ochli. When does a Kohen who contracted Tumah and he went to mikvah, at what is the earliest time that he can eat truma? He's considered tahar. Mishas teis hakochavim. He's listening. Mishas teis hakochavim. Why do you have to go around a roundabout way? Tell me about a kohen. Just tell me the law of teis hakochavim. That's the time for Kriyas Shema Shel Arvis. And the Gemara answers, we indicated this earlier, milsa agav urche kamashmon. Sometimes the Mishnah wants to teach me something, by the by, that will know more halachas elsewhere, and that is to teach me that kohanim emas kachli, when is the time the kohanim eat? When can they eat truma the earliest time? Mishas tseisa kochavim. How did the Gemara know that the time for achilas truma for the kohen shehut ful yom, how do they know it's with tseisa kochavim? It's hard to say that we would derive that conclusion from this Mishnah. If we only had this mission about Kriyat Shema, but the answer perhaps lies, as Rashi indicates here, Mishas in a pasuk of Vayikach of Beis, Uba Hashemesh V'Taher, V'Achar Yochal Mina Kodshim. Kodshim here means Truma. Now, what the Torah is saying is that the Shemesh is no longer on the horizon; it's gone. It's dipped below the horizon. And the Gemara later on is going to go into a drush about that. Kiddushanya. And now the Gemara quotes a brisa to prove that the time for achilas truma is with tseisa kochavim. And the Gemara says, kabashmo de kapar lo ma'akva, kiddushanya, that although in the case of a Kohen who is a Zav or is a Mitzorah, he's called a Mechusa Kapar, he cannot be considered Tar for Achilas Kodshim until he brings his Karban the very next day, because the Beis HaMikdash is closed for business at night. There are no Karbanas brought on the Mizbeach at night. Nevertheless, he can eat from his Truma even before he brings his Karban. And that's called in the Gemara's language Kapara Lo Ma'akfa. And the Brisa derives this from the Pasuk Uba Hashemesh V'Taher V'Achar Yochal Min HaKadoshim. And from this Pasuk we see that even a Kohen who has contracted Tumah, nevertheless his Tara is pure, his purification depends upon Karban, his full-fledged reinstatement as a Kohen Tar will depend upon his korban, but nevertheless, bias shimsho makvaso milechol betruma v'ein kaparosa makvaso lechol betruma. Although, as far as kodshim is concerned, his tara process absolutely requires a bringing of a korban, but here the Torah is saying uba shemesh b'taher, that there is one element of kodshim that he's allowed to eat even before he brings the korban, because his tara is clinched with bias shemesh, and that's achilas truma. Bi'achar yochal min hakodshim means he's allowed to eat from truma. So that bias shimsho, which means in this case shkiyas hachama makvaso, that's going to delay his heter for eating truma, because before shkiyas hachama he's not considered tar, and therefore he cannot eat truma. But after shkiyas hachama, as far as kodshim, meaning truma, is concerned, he's allowed to eat even though he hasn't yet brought his korban. Ein kaparosa makva bilechol betruma. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon a whole analysis of this pasuk. Umimai, how do you know the hay uba shemesh, that the word uba shemesh here, this phrase, is a reference to bias hashemesh, which means the sunset. Vahay v'toher, it says uba shemesh v'toher, toher yoma. Taher Yomi means that the day has ended with Shkia Sachama, and therefore the pasuk means to tell us that once the Shkia Sachama is Vitosif Lishkoa Od, and the day sort of stretches a little bit into the night because it's only Shkia, we have to wait until Vitoyer Yoma, until Vitoyer means Vitoyer Yoma, until you can see the stars on the horizon. That's the complete end of the day. So it starts with Bias Shemesh Ubar Shemesh, then Vitoyer is one step beyond that, which means that after Shkia we wait a few minutes until Tzeis HaKochavim, and only at that moment is the Kohen Mutter to eat Truma. And at this point we're turning to Daf Beis Amid Beis. Dilma, perhaps, let's reinterpret the pasuk. Bias orohu. Now I have to tell you, Rabosai, on this phrase, bias oro, we have a major machlokes between Rashi and Tosus, and that's the top Tosus here on the Beis Amid Beis. Let's first be happy with Rashi. Rashi holds that bias oro means the coming of the light. When is the coming of the light? That's with daybreak. That's called Zrichas Hachama, in the morning. So let's say, for example, he was a Zav, or a Mitzora. He waited until the eighth day. It's only on the eighth day, which is the day after the night, when he brings his Kapora, his Karbon. Then, Umay, the Pasuk says, V'taher Tahir Gavra, meaning that he actively brings his Karbon. It's not just a question of Vitar Yoma, that naturally he could be passive and the day ends, the day passes, which would mean nightfall, but rather Vitaher mandates him to actively bring his Karbon in order to achieve Tara, and that's the law of a Mechusa Kapar, that he must bring the Karbon in order to complete his Tara and be matir himself in Achilas Truma. So the Gemara offers the following answer of a Rabba Barav Shila. We should not interpret Uba Shemesh as referring to Zricha of sunrise, Im Kain, because if that would be the case, and the Torah is commanding the Mechusa Kapar to bring his Karbon, is Lema Kra, the Pasuk wants to emphasize the active obligation and necessity of actively bringing a carbon via Yitar, and he shall purify himself. That's not what it says in the Pasuk. My, what does it mean, Vitaher? That's passive. It means Tahir Yoma, that with nightfall, and let's add Tzeis HaKochavim, the day has ended. That's called Tayer Yoma. Kida Amri Inshi, the Gemara in a sense, embellishes this with an idiomatic phrase that people use, Iarev Shimsha Va'adiki Yoma. The sun has set and the day has purified itself, meaning the sun is no longer on the horizon, and at that point, it's Vitar Yoma, the day has completely passed. We're already into the night of the next day. So the Pasuk means that after Harif Shemesh, after sunset, complete sunset, when the day completely ends with Tzeisach HaKochavim, then the Kohen is licensed to eat Truma. He doesn't have to wait till the next morning to bring his Karban. B'marava hadarava barashila lo shmiale. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't hear the statement of Rabba barashila, and rather Uboule miboy, they rather vacillated back and forth. Hi Uba Shemesh, what does the pasuk mean? Uba Shemesh bia shimsho, that's possibility number one, which means sunset. Umai toyer vitoyer toyer yoma, which means we have to wait until after Tzeisach HaKochavim, until the day completely passes. Odilma, second possibility, bias orohu, which according to Rashi again means Zricha Sachama, Umay Vitoyer, Toyer Gavra, which means that he has to bring his Karban with daybreak on the very next day, which is Yom HaShmini, as we said before. So we're talking about Zricha Sachama and Bias Oro. Vahadar Pashtule, but then the Bnei Eretz Yisrael came to a definite conclusion, Mibraisa. They saw it in a Braisa, Miktani. When it says in the Braisa, from what time do you begin Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, Mishal Shekonim Zakoyim Lechol B'Trumosom, Siman L'Dover Tzeisach HaKochavim. The Braisa explicitly tells us that the moment in which the Kohanim are licensed to eat their Truma is the moment of Tzeisach HaKochavim Shmamina. It's quite clear that Uba Shemesh means Bia Shimshohu, when the sun sets, Umay Vitoher. What the Torah means when it says Vitoher is Toher Yoma, when the day completely ends after Tzeisach HaKochavim. Tosfos rejects Rashi here about Bias Oro with a whole bunch of questions. And perhaps the most fundamental of all his questions is that how could the Gemara raise the possibility that Bias Shimsho means Bias Oro means sunrise? We don't find anywhere in Tanakh that this phrase of Uba Shemesh could refer to sunrise. We have many different words and phrases in the Tanakh for sunrise, but none of them are Uba HaShemesh. And the Baal HaMor tries to come to Rashi's aid with a pasuk in Yeshaya to try to prove that maybe the word Bia in Shemesh could mean sunrise. Tosfos himself and many, many other Rishonim understood that when the Gemara asks Dilma Bias Orohu, this is an earlier time of what he calls Tchilas Knisas HaShemesh L'Rakia, when there's a Shahus, there's still a time until Tzeisach HaKochavim of 4 milim. So we're probably talking about a period of time of 3/4 of an hour before Tzeisach HaKochavim. There are long discussions about this, but in Birtz Hashem, we will cover that more in an in-depth shiur. Omar Mar, the Mishnah teaches us, Mishosh HaKonim Nichnosim Lechol B'Trumosan. Ureminihi, we have other brisos that give us different alternative times for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. In this brisa, it says, Me'ei Masai Koronis Shema B'Arvin, Mishosh HaOni Nichnas Lechol es pito b'melech, when the ani, the poor person, during any weekday will come to his house to eat what he has is a hard piece of bread and he dips it into salt. He doesn't have the ability financially to buy lights, neros, that can light up his suda. So he comes to eat his pas at the very beginning of the Laila, when there's still some light on the horizon, he's not waiting until Shkia Sachama. Ad Shosha Omed Li Potem Mitoch Sudaso. And he reads Kriya Shema from the time that he enters in to eat the Suda, which is earlier than Shkia Sachama. He needs the light of day. And he finishes with his Kriya Shema when he's ready to complete his Suda. So the Gemara explains the question. Seifa, when it says in the Braisa that the latest time for Kriya Shema is from the moment that he completes his Suda, Vade Pliga Masnisan. There's no question that goes against that Mishnah. Because even the earliest time indicated in that Mishnah, according to one Deah, and that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, is only Sofah Shmura Rishona, which is 4 hours into the night. But Resha, shall we assume that even the first part of this Braisa, which states that the beginning of Zman Kriyat Shema is when the Ani comes in to eat his bread, Milema Pliga Masnisish, we assume that's against our Mishnah, and that from the moment that an Ani would eat his Suda, at that point already, he could, the Kohen, if he was a Tful Yom, could, or a Mechusa Kapora, and he went to the mikvah that day, he could already eat his Truma. Lo, so the Gemara says no. There's no machlokes between our Mishnah and the Braisa, so they can be reconciled. And the reason for that is because Ani, at what point in time does the Ani come in on a daily basis at night to eat his bread? Is the Kohen, when a Kohen comes to eat Truma after he was Tovil from his Tumah, it's Chachiruhu, it's all the same time. You should not identify the Ani as an earlier time before Shkia, but rather it's the same Shir as Shkia. And here we'll mention in addition the Yerushalmi that assumes that even after Tzeisa Kochob there's still some light, which is enough light for the Ani to eat his Suda. The Gemara now wants to clarify, is it really possible to say that the Shir of Ani and the Shir of Kohen are really identical? Uriminu, we have another Brice that says, Mevesai maschilin likros kriyat shma bi'arvis, mishosha b'nei odam nichnosim lechol piton bi'arve shabbosos, divrei Rabbi Meir. So Meir is set the time when people eat the meal on Erev Shabbos, which is earlier than when they eat on a weekday, because everything is muchan and mezuman for their suda, even before nightfall, so they'll start early. But Chachamim Omrim, that when is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema, the Arvis, Mishosh Akonim Zakoim Lechol Trumasam, the Siman Lidavar, is Tzeisako Chavim. So far we have Machlok Shem Rabbi Meir Chachamim recorded in this Braisa. When is the earliest time for Kriyat Shema Shal Arvis? Rabbi Meir makes it earlier, and he uses Erev Shabbos as his paradigm. And the Chacham say, no, it's later, it's Tzeisako Chavim. Braisa continues, V'afal Pishen Raya Ledovar, I can't prove to you, say the Chachamim, that the time period of Tzeisako Chavim is necessary for the day to end and begin the night, but Zeichel Ledovar, I can give you a hint, an illusion, Shenemar, because the pasuk referring to the Olei Bavel, who were involved and hired to build the Chomos of Yerushalayim, and this is in the fourth chapter, Nechemiah, Anachnu Osim B'Melacha V'Chetziam Machzikim B'Ramachim Me'alos HaShachar V'Atzeis HaKochavim. In other words, they worked during the day. They were day laborers. It's not common for people to work at night when there's no light out. And they don't complete their melacha during the day. This pasuk seems to allude to the fact that the day starts with Alos HaShachar and it ends with Tzeis HaKochavim. V'Omer, the Braisa adds that the very next pasuk in Nechemiah, when he addresses the people, he says, V'hayu lanu alayla mishmar v'yom melacha. During the night time, we spend that time in security posts to make sure to protect the community against all the enemies around us. And it's only during the day that we dedicate ourselves to malacha, to building. And this would again strengthen the fact that as long as they were involved in malacha, that's called yom. As we saw before, that the pasuk says that they did malacha from Alos HaShachar until the end of the day at Seisa Kochavim. And the second pasuk that we said, Vayolanu Alayla Mishmar Vayom Melacha. So since we see that they were Osek B'Melacha from Alos HaShachar till Tzeis HaKochavim, we assume that from Tzeis HaKochavim and on the day is gone. And Nehemiah is telling the people that now that the day is gone, we have to set up security posts to protect ourselves against the enemies. This is what I remember we did as Chayalim. You know, we would take up our posts at night. So the Gemara clarifies this. My v'omer, why did the Braisa feel it had to add the second pasuk of Ahayu lanu alayla mishmar v'yom malacha? Why wasn't the first pasuk sufficient that describes the daily day work and labor of the day that ends with Tzeis HaKochavim? So the Gemara answers, v'chi tema, because if you'll want to reject my first pasuk and say, michi arva shimsha, from the time that the sun sets, Lila, who it's already sunsets, the inu, and the workers who were in charge of building the choma, the wall, the protective wall, the mechashchi, umakdime, they would stay a little bit later, work even beyond nightfall, so to speak, beyond shkia sachama, up until Tzeis HaKochavim, umakdime, and they would begin their malacha in the morning early before actual daybreak, from the moment of Alos HaShachar. And this is before, because they wanted to complete the building of this protective wall that would serve as a security protection against the enemies that were threatening them, as we see there in Sefer Nehemiah. So we can't learn from this pasuk exactly when this beginning of Laila, because maybe they went into the Laila, they were in such a dedicated rush to give as many hours as they could to this malacha to complete it. Tashma, that's when he quotes the second pasuk, V'hoya lanu halayla mishmar v'yom malacha. And this pasuk clearly indicates that they didn't work except during the day, and that's the Zman of Malacha, was a day laborer, and that day is defined as Me'alos HaShachar up until Tzeis HaKochavim. The Gemara at this point is going to go back to the various Zmanim of Kriya that were mentioned here in the Braisa to see exactly when is the time for Kriyat Shema. Kasalka Daita, the Gemara at this point entertains the possibility, the Ani B'nei Adam Chad Shiruhu, that the moment that the Ani comes to eat is pas on a regular weekday basis is identical with the moment that most people come to eat their Suda on Leil Shabbos. It's all one shear of Zman. And that shear of Zman is identical with Tchilas, the beginning of Laila. Iyamrit, says the Gemara, it makes sense if you're going to assume that before that moment of time is Ani V'Kohen Chad Shi'urahu, both the Ani and Kol Adam eat their meal at the same time, which means that all the times that are mentioned in the Braisa as Zman Achila, whether it's the Ani, whether it's B'nei Adam and Erev Shabbos, or whether it's the Kohen in our Mishnah or the Braisa, it's all one time period, then I don't understand. How do we understand the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Chachamim in the second Braisa, that Rabbi Meir says that the Zman Kriyat Shema is from the moment that Bnei Adam Nichnasim Lechol Pitam B'Arvei Shabbosos, and then the Chachamim say, no, it's from the moment that they eat Truma. Chacham Hein Rabbi Meir. There's no machlokas being recorded here between Chacham and Rabbi Meir. They're all saying the same thing. El Shmamina Ani Shira Lechud V'Koin Shira Lechud. The Shir of the Ani is different than that of the Kohen, and that means when the Kohen eats Truma, the Zman, then an Ani comes in to eat his pas with salt. It's not the same as the time that the Kohen comes in to eat his Truma. And we now see that there's a machlokas in the second Brisa, because the Zman that most people eat on Erev Shabbos, Shehu Kizman Achilas Achilas Ha'oni V'Yemos HaChol, that's not the same, shouldn't be identified with the time that the Kohen comes in to eat his Truma. So now we can ask a question of what we mentioned earlier, that the Oni and the Kohen eat at the same time. That's not so. So the Gemara rejects this low. Oni v'koin shchachi urahu, that in truth, when it says in the first price of Mishosha Oni nichnas lechol pito b'melach, that's identical with the time in our Mishnah when the Kohanim come in to eat their Truma. However, we're going to reject what we explained before, that the Ani comes in to eat his Suda during a weekday at the same time that Bnei Adam come in on Erev Shabbos to eat their meal. And the Ani Bnei Adam lav chad shiurimhu. It means that the Bnei Adam will eat their Suda earlier. The Ani will eat his Suda with nightfall, just like the Kohen will eat his Truma with nightfall. So the Bnei Adam of Rabbi Meir is an earlier time period on Erev Shabbos, when people come in early to eat their Suda. However, the Ani and the Kohen is one Zman. So therefore the Chachamim in the Mishnah, and also in the second Brisa, who identify the Zman, Kriyat Shema, the Zman when the Kohen eat Truma, is identical with the first Brisa that identifies the Zman of eating Truma as the time that the Ani comes in. Rabbi Meir again, in the second Brisa, has a separate Shita. He's a dissenter, and he holds that the Zman of Kriyat Shema is from the time that Bnei Adam come in to eat their meal on Erev Shabbos. Okay, then we'll stop here, and we're up to the Ani, the Kohen, Chad Shi'urahu? Question mark.